Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Horticulture Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with ICL's Sam Rivers. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Matthew. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. And I'm with ICL's Andrew Wilson. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Matthew.
And today we're going to talk about integrated pest management and the pressures on the industry to adopt a new approach to tackling pests such as vine weevil in a time when insecticides are more and more becoming withdrawn. I'll just introduce Sam. Now, Sam joined ICL in 2019 to advise customers in Essex and the home counties and in areas of London. He's got a National Diploma in Horticulture, a BSc in Horticulture, and an MSc in Entomology from Harper Adams. He grew glasshouse crops at Rittle and worked at Cambridge University producing beneficial insects for a leading UK biocontrol company. And with ICL's IPM plant portfolio expanding, Sam's specialist knowledge is going to be put to good use. Whereas Andrew is a very well-known face in the industry. He's the technical manager for ICL UK and Ireland, nationwide role, highly experienced. He's been with ICL, which was then owned by Scotts, since 2007, and he provides technical support to the technical area sales managers nationwide, and he's involved in the development of ICL's new fertilizer product. So welcome to you both. We're going to start off with talking about pressures on the industry and the current situation. So what are the pressures on the industry, Sam, with pest management in ornamental crops at the moment? What is the current situation, and can you give any examples of environmental or legislative pressure there are?
Yeah, so I think the horticultural industry in general is under tremendous pressure from all aspects. And, you know, this is one very important area that we need to focus on. The way the industry and, you know, the new legislation coming in from Brexit is going is there's going to be less use of chemicals in the future. And we're going to be forcing a different approach, you know, almost to the growers towards a more biologically friendly future. There's a lot of challenges, particularly when growers have been used to using one chemical that does everything for them. That's now changing. There's a sustainable use directive law now, which is basically changing the way we operate on the nursery. So it's a new regulation, and it's law throughout the UK and Europe. And it basically adheres to a protocol where we're following a certain set of procedures to control pests and diseases on the nursery. So the main hierarchy of control, as they call it, we start off with cultural control. So that's looking at hygiene practices, regular monitoring for pests and diseases. So it's like a first phase of defense, if you will, against these pressures. And then we move on to a biological approach as the next step. So that's macro microbiologicals and products such as biostimulants. And then we go into physical controls. So that's acting physically on the pest or disease. And then the last resort is the chemical approach. So these are the things that are being banned in the industry. There's a few examples recently. So for horticulture exemptor, which is thiacloprid and neonicotinoid, that's now been withdrawn from use. So that chemical is now gone, and that was used for vine weevil, and it had a secondary control of things such as leaf beetles and aphids. So now growers are left with a kind of empty chemical cover to control these pests, and they're now looking towards the alternatives. And there really isn't any chemical alternatives anymore for these pests. That's the new legislation coming in. They're not approving new chemicals to control these pests. There are chemicals that can control them, but there's effects on the environment that we need to be concerned about. And, you know, working for ICL, this is a direction we want to be pushing, is a sustainable, you know, looking at these control options and the cultural biological options, and not resorting to the physical or chemical uses unless absolutely necessary. So yeah, there is a bit of a knowledge gap, as most growers have been used to using one chemical like exemptor. As I mentioned, you don't really have to worry about it. It's, you know, been incorporated in the growing media, and it's quite an easy product to use, and growers can, you know, almost switch off and not worry about things. But now they're really having to plan their time on how to apply these new products, such as nematodes, biostimulants, and how to make them work properly and control the pests in their crops.
Thanks, Sam. So, Andrew, is there anything left in the cupboard? I mean, Sam says there's not much. And if there is anything left, you know, what do you think will go next chemical-wise?
Yes, Matthew. There are certainly gaps in the chemical portfolio now. An integrated pest management approach will be the way forward. You can see the way the legislation is going, and you know it's the future of agricultural and environmental policy that will drive us down this route. So we need to look at the key chemical products that we have and use them as part of an overall regime, as Sam was saying. They will be key, but there's a bigger part to this. We need to look at the whole pest, the life cycle that we have, and really try and prevent some of these problems, be much better at detecting them, and really use the control and the chemistry where we have to as a sort of last resort, because we won't be able to use these products probably more than once or twice in a season, and we'll have to save them for the, you know, for the time when it gives the best control. So I think it's a new way of learning, and I think we'll learn to grow better. We'll be better at preventing diseases and pests. And at the end of the day, we'll look back on pesticides as something we did before, but we've got new tools in the future. But it won't be easy.
So, Sam, this sort of approach has its challenges. What are the difficulties of using IPM? What are the challenges for growers which, when they previously had quite a simple sort of application method?
Yeah, so I go back to exemptor being, it was pre-incorporated into growing media mixes, and growers basically didn't have to worry about the pests they control. Now, you know, for vine weevil, for example, there are two options really available, and that's Pitcher, which is ICL's garlic-based product, which kills the egg stages and early instar stages of vine weevil. And we also have a nematode, a Seeker nematode range. And the challenges with these, it's all about application timing and knowing which life cycle stage these products target. So Pitcher is targeting the egg stages. But as Andrew was saying, a lot of these products have limited use. So Pitcher can only apply once or twice a year, depending on what rate you use. So a full rate you can only apply once per year, and a half rate you can apply twice per year. And because it's targeting the egg stages, we need to make sure we're applying it at the time when vine weevil eggs are going to be actively laid by the adults. And it's challenging because vine weevil, as you're probably aware, they're quite a persistent and problematic crop, and they can be present throughout the whole season. So our advice is to look at the most active period with these products. So vine weevil's most active egg laying period outside, for instance, is between April to June. So that's your application window. But of course, you know, a lot of these things are dependent on temperature. The weather outside my window is very snowy. So the UK climate can be up and down, as you all know. So you have to monitor that quite closely as well. And it's the same with nematodes. The two products we have work down to certain temperatures. So we have Seeker, which works down to 12 degrees C in the growing media. We have a product called Seeker CT or cold tolerance, which works down to 5 degrees C in the growing media. Now, Seeker CT, you'd be looking to apply anytime from probably March till April or May even. And it really depends on how cold or warm the weather is. And, you know, understanding that is going to give growers a much better level of control. You know, you always have to think 2 weeks ahead with these products. You know, next week might be really warm and you might think to apply Seeker CT because the temperatures are rising, but then it might drop in a week. The temperature might go down to -5 and you've kind of wasted your time a little bit. The main challenge I see is forward planning. And also, you know, there is a bit of a technical gap. You know, like we say, growers have just been used to using this one product that's almost been applied for them. And now they're having to really think about how they're going to get these products on their crops. What's the application window they're going to apply, the staff they're going to have to use to apply it. Most growers have used these products in the past, and some have been using them nonstop because they've been against the chemical use. So they understand the product. We're kind of there as technical advisors to just help them understand the application procedure.
Great, thanks, Sam. So Andrew, as a former grower, what do you see as the barriers from the nurserymen, from the growers, to switch into IPM? You know, what's the sort of barriers they put up?
From a grower's point of view, as Sam was saying, they're used to using one product. Now they have to really look at the pest and plan their production and, you know, think of temperatures and things like that. I think technology is going to come into this more. There's more environmental data that you can use in terms of temperature in the growing media, in terms of humidity, irrigation control and things like this. And these will have big effects on the sort of pest and disease pressure that you have. And if you can grow the crops a little bit drier with more efficient irrigation, you're likely to get less fungal disease and things like that. So it's really looking at the whole crop and sort of, you know, looking at where the problems might occur and almost having a blueprint for thinking, you know, we need to improve ventilation. We need to be monitoring the humidity because these are the triggers for lots of the fungal diseases that we get.
So Sam, with vine weevil, how bad has it been, say, for instance, last season? And, you know, can you predict how bad it might be in 2021?
Yeah, that's a good question. Vine weevil is a very persistent and problematic pest if it's left to go unchecked. And growers have been using, you know, Exempta for quite a period of time now, and that's kept population thresholds to a manageable level if, like, you know, that's non-existent on some nurseries. And that will probably be the case if they didn't do anything. That population threshold isn't going to explode overnight. You know, you might see a gradual increase. And the message we're saying to growers who are maybe a bit hesitant about using products such as nematodes is, you know, that population pressure will build and build and build, and it will become a problem eventually. You know, vine weevil have been controlled with Exempta, but they haven't moved a long way away. They've probably moved into the next available space next to the nurseries. And they will move back in quite quickly. And the more they build up their population, you know, the worse the problem gets. So with IPM, the idea is that you're using these products so you are maintaining that population. I'm not going to say nematodes or, you know, pitcher, for instance, is going to be as effective as a chemical control. But they will control the pest to a point where you're not going to see any major issues on the nursery. And, you know, that's obviously an economical benefit to everyone. So the sooner you get used to using these products, the better. I think growers who are hesitant, I would say just trial it, see how you get on, because the more you get up to speed with this, the easier life is going to be. If you've been using Exempta, you've probably got a little bit of a window as a saving grace, particularly as the last use update, the last delivery date we did was 29th of January. So Exempta is gone. Some growers will have that for the remainder of this season. And that's a good time to actually trial these products, get used to applying them and seeing how they work. And, you know, call us in as well, because we're there to help. We can walk you through the process, can figure out the application rates and give you some tips on how to get the most out of these products.
Great, thanks, Sam. So, Andrew, could you give me a bit more detail on these friendly alternatives? What's the chemistry behind them, and what's the development, and what's the sort of future development?
In terms of the nematodes, I mean, they've been around for a long time, but application has been the key to them, really. And obviously, Drenching into a peat-based growing media is one thing, but as we move forward towards peat-free, these materials are more repellent to water and things like that. And the key to the efficiency of a nematode is delivering them to the target pest. And, you know, we've had to work on wetting agents to really penetrate these new medias. And we have a product called Transporter, which does that and delivers it. You know, temperature is obviously key to it as well. And it's really going to be, you know, picking the right time to get the most effective control from these nematodes. And they're very effective when they're active, and they will actively seek out the vine weevil larvae at the correct time.
Thanks, Andrew. And Sam, what about this garlic-based product? Does that really work?
Yeah, so when I first heard about garlic, that we were bringing out a garlic product, I was really skeptical, I'll be honest. And then I actually understood how the garlic product is formulated differently to garlic products of old. I think a lot of growers have used garlic in the past and they've had mixed results. Picture is slightly different because we've actually got a product that has isolated the beneficial parts of garlic. So garlic does have an effect on pests. It has an effect, but just natural garlic in itself, you know, there's a lot of white noise in the actual active compounds that have this effect. So Picture is a combination of all the very beneficial compounds of garlic. So it works incredibly well because of that. So we use it to target the egg stage predominantly. So it causes oxidative stress on the eggs and it's applied as a top dress. And again, like I say, it's only as good as the application from the end user. If you're going to be applying it now when it's snowy and the vine weevils aren't really laying their eggs, it's not going to be any good. It's really about targeting that window of opportunity. Obviously, each nursery is different. Each has their own microclimates. You might, you know, be monitoring your nursery and noticing that adults are actually more actively laying their eggs towards the end of the summer. And you could then incorporate Picture to apply it at that point in the nursery. But, you know, our advice is outside vine weevil are laying their eggs most actively around April to June, but they will be laying throughout the summer. But, you know, we also have a limited use of this product, so we're trying to maximize its efficacy.
Lastly, the big question, or a big question, is the future direction. Where's the industry headed? You know, new direction is all about only using chemical control until it's necessary, but with, you know, legislation and you know, increased environmental pressure, where are we going, Andrew? What do you think is happening?
I think you've only got to look at the protected edible glasshouse crops where you see, you know, particularly with tomatoes and crops like that, they've virtually eliminated the use of traditional pesticides and they're relying on biological products and things like that. I think there's a long, long way to go with this for the ornamental sector due to the, you know, diversity of crops and outside, you know, growing as well. But increasingly, there's going to be a move to crops that are easier to grow, that don't have as many problems. I think plant breeding, we're heading that way as well, and we'll be much more savvy in detection of diseases and prevention of them rather than waiting for the actual control. And I think that'll be the key to it.
Okay. And Sam, what do you think? Where are things going? What can growers do now to help them prepare for the future?
The restrictions on chemical use are only going to get worse. I say worse like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because, you know, the less chemicals we have, the less they end up in the environment, which can only be a good thing in my opinion. Growers, my advice, you know, understand these products, how they're working. We do lots of technical days. We can do trials on your nurseries. Just get to grips with how to apply them. You know, we have biostimulant products coming out now. You know, for example, here we have a few products that can be used against powdery mildew, but our advice would be to start with this cultural method of monitoring, understanding the temperature, the conditions that, you know, you might see powdery mildew. You know, so it's a bit more humidity, and that cultural control is all about just monitoring any bought in material. And then if you see those signs of activity, you can apply a biostimulant because that's going to support the plant to deal with that stress. And if it comes to a point where you need to treat with a chemical control, we have a product called Amistar, which you can use for that. But again, that's got a limited use. So it's getting to grips with that kind of process of starting off with as little as you can do with chemicals, understand these new products. We'll happily come on the nurseries and talk to growers about it and how they might use them. And yeah, don't get too complacent with chemicals, because the way things are going, you know, 5-10 years, we might not have any chemicals. you know, I think the example is with sugar beet. That was a neonicotinoid that's looking to possibly be approved. But you can see the pressure on that, the response from that from environmental groups, you know, and everyone really, they're really against it. And that's the pressure you're going to get going forward. So yeah, just get to grips with these new products, trial them, understand them, and you'll be in a good situation because they do work.
That's a great summing up there, Sam. So Andrew, how would you wrap up your message from today?
I would take it from a crop point of view. I think the growers need to be close to their crops. I think they need to understand them. I think they need to be careful in the choice of varieties they grow and, you know, look at prevention as much as possible. I think in terms of protective structures and ventilation and temperature control and irrigation, these are all key things that they should be looking at first. A key point is also nutrition. You know, healthy plants that are well fed get less diseases. And I think that's where Sam's point of the biostimulants comes in as well. You know, you can really help the plant protect itself. And then, you know, going forward, you know, it's really about the detection of any disease or pest at an early stage so that you can deal with it before it becomes a real issue to the crop. And obviously, you know, as Sam said earlier, you know, things can build up around the nursery. So if things start to get out of control, you have less options, you know, to really control it. So I think you need to be looking around the nursery, detecting things and then controlling them at an early stage with a biological option before they get out of control. And I think, you know, that'll be a good thing. And growers will learn a lot from it. I think the crops will be better. And there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Brilliant. Well, thanks to ICL and to Sam Rivers and to Andrew Wilson for a very informative session there. And thank you very much for listening to the Horticulture Week podcast. And you can listen to the Horticulture Week podcast archive at hortweek.com/podcasts. This is Matthew Appleby, and thank you and goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.